Broadcasting.
Thank you. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue. It's Wednesday, May 5th. Before we start our agenda, would you please call the roll?
Representative Levy.
Present by video.
Representative Marsh.
Marsh is here by video.
Representative Smith.
Representative Smith is present via telephone.
Representative Valderrama.
Valderrama present by video.
Vice Chair Pham.
Pham is present by video.
Vice Chair Reschke.
Reschke present by video.
Madam Chair Nathanson.
Nathanson present by video. Thank you. We have several work sessions scheduled for today. I want to start out with an announcement that the third item on the agenda, House Bill 3295, I'm canceling that work session for today. Again, cancel House Bill 3295. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2446, LRO.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 2446 extends the sunset from June 30th, 2022 to June 30th, 2028 for property tax exemptions from property of a nonprofit corporation that is extended to low-income housing. And in particular, this is low-income housing of the nonprofit corporation that was granted the property tax exemption in 2012. And so that's a little bit of a clarification that we have from legislative counsel from the work session from the public hearing and moving forward to today. So in the revenue impact statement, you'll see that there's the 2021-23 biennium only includes 1 year because the first year would be included in the current property tax exemption that's not sunset yet. And this moves it out for 6 years. And then in the next biennium, you see approximately $1.3 million of revenue loss and about $140,000 of a shift. And then it grows by the growth rate of the property values and assessed value, but the clarification that we have from the in this time that we've been working since the public hearing is that these are a set of properties that had this property tax exemption, and so the tax base won't be growing to new properties. And we also have no expenditure impact or fiscal impact.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Committee, any questions about 2446? Any discussion? I don't see any discussion.
Madam Chair, I do see Vice Chair Reschke has raised his hand.
I'm taking a note, just a moment. Okay. Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. And I would just say that the two chief sponsors on this bill are just fantastic people. So I urge an aye vote.
Okay, noted for the record. since it's apparently such a great idea, would someone like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2446 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Reschke moves House Bill 2446 to the floor, that it be adopted. Oh, this script, let's see. I think the script means a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I'm not seeing any. Would you please take a roll call vote? Oh, Rep. Marsh.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. This is not specific to this bill, but I think it's a statement worth making, which is just an observation that it's easy for the legislature to enact policy goals via property tax because it doesn't really cost us anything. It costs our local government something. We pick up the backfill for the school portion of that property tax. But really what we're doing with these property tax exemptions is putting the burden on efforts that we think are important on local government. And I just think it's important for us to remember that every time we pass one of these things.
Thank you. Thank you for the comment, Rep. Marsh. We're ready for a roll call vote.
Representative Levy.
Levy votes yes.
Representative Marsh.
Marsh votes yes.
Representative Smith.
Representative Smith votes aye.
Representative Valderrama.
Valderrama votes aye.
Vice Chair Pham.
Pham votes yes.
Vice Chair Reschke.
Reschke votes aye.
Madam Chair Nathanson.
Nathanson votes aye. The motion passes. Is there a volunteer to carry this? Representative
Reschke. Madam Chair. I'll carry it.
I saw your hand go up. Darn, you beat me to it. Okay. Representative Reschke, Vice Chair Reschke will carry this bill for us. I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2446. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3138.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, this is Jamie McGovern for the Legislative Revenue Office. House Bill 3138 would extend the filing time and payment time for estate tax filers from 9 months, which is the current allowed period of time, to 12 months for those filing a federal income tax or federal estate tax. However, the dash one, or sorry, owing no federal estate tax. However, the dash one just takes that 12-month extension and applies to all filers so that it is uniform and consistent at the Department of Revenue. There's expected to be a minimal revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Thank you. Ms. McGovern, you said you referred to a dash one. Does that mean you are recommending that there's an amendment we should adopt?
Chair Nathanson, there is a dash one. I believe it's loaded in OLIS. I think that's a policy decision to adopt it or not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Committee members, any discussion or questions for LRO? And if the vice chairs, hang on, Rep. Reschke, if the vice chairs are looking at the common motions available, if someone is interested in using the amendment, we would start with that first piece of the template script. Representative Reschke.
I was going to make a motion, Madam Chair, but if you want to discuss it beforehand, I'll wait.
No, I'm happy to hear a motion.
A motion for the amendment. So Chair Nathanson, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3138.
Vice Chair Reschke moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3138. Any discussion on this motion to adopt the amendment? I don't see requests for discussion. Could we have a roll call vote on the amendment?
Representative Levy?
Levy votes aye.
Representative Marsh?
Marsh votes aye.
Representative Smith?
Representative Smith votes aye.
Representative Valderrama?
Valderrama votes aye.
Vice Chair Pham?
Pham votes aye.
Vice Chair Reschke?
Reschke votes aye.
Madam Chair Nathanson?
Nathanson votes aye. Motion passes. We're on the main bill, which now includes an amendment. Representative Reschke.
Madam Chair, I'm ready to move the bill as amendment, if you're ready.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 3138 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Reschke moves House Bill 3138 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there discussion? I'm not seeing any. Let's have a roll call vote.
Representative Levy?
Levy votes aye.
Representative Marsh?
Marsh votes aye.
Representative Smith?
Representative Smith votes aye.
Representative Valderrama?
Valderrama votes aye.
Vice Chair Pham?
Pham votes aye.
Vice Chair Reschke?
Reschke votes aye.
And Chair Nathanson?
Nathanson votes aye. Motion passes. As for a carrier, the chief sponsor of House Bill 3138 is Representative Noble. I would like Representative Noble to carry this on the floor. I'm closing the work session on House Bill 3138. Opening a work session on Senate Bill 136A.
Chair Nathanson and members of the committee, this is Caitlin Harger with the Legislative Revenue Office. Senate Bill 136A is the broadcaster's bill that you've heard so much about this session and in the last few sessions. It creates a standalone provision detailing how the numerator of the sales factor should be calculated for broadcasting sales. It directs taxpayers to use third-party rating information or information from their books and records to determine the numerator of the sales factor. In cases where that information is not available, the Department of Revenue is allowed to use the Oregon population to United States population ratio in order to determine the sales factor. In the case of licensing to subscription services or advertising on subscription services, the bill asks taxpayers to use 0.6% multiplied by the taxpayer's receipts for the numerator of their sales factor in cases in which the other information is not available due to the licensing contracts. It adds to statute a modified definition of broadcasting and provides all taxpayers with an option to elect to apply their apportionment ratio to total gross receipts, not just broadcasting sales. It repeals some obsolete statutes that are specifically related to previous interstate broadcaster provisions. It applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2020, takes effect on the 91st day following adjournment signing day.
Thank you. Committee, any questions for Ms. Harger before we entertain motions? Rep. Pham.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. I did have a question just to clarify the relationship of Senate Bill 136 with House Bill 2331. I am still trying to, I just wanted to make sure I understand the connection and the difference between those two bills.
Ms. Harger, you could either answer that or Mr. Allenack could jump in.
There, Vice Chair Pham, there is no connection. Senate Bill 136 is corporate apportionment for interstate broadcasters. It has to deal with corporate income tax. And House Bill 2331 is a property tax bill related to some local radio stations and so forth that were going to get caught up into central assessment. And then in that sense, they were considered broadcasters. That's how these two bills kind of got stepped on, just because they had the same word, broadcaster.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Representative Pham?
Apologies, that was my attempt to put down my hand.
Any other questions? I would be happy to entertain a motion to adopt the bill.
Chair Nathanson, I do see Rep. Marsh just put her hand up.
Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. I was prompted by Rep. Pham's question to remark that in the complexity of our of modern life as reflected in our tax systems, really, and broadcasters are kind of at the front line of that as we try to figure out how to make conventional tax systems that were based on brick and mortar buildings and really clear lines of business apply to in an income tax context, as in this bill, to a much more complex kind of beast that we've created, similarly with the broadcasting and the property tax. And it's just, I think, a good broadcasters are kind of on the front lines of change, and our tax systems are forced to constantly evolve to catch up. So, and I think, you know, we're going to continue to see these kind of quandaries over time as life and economies shift.
Indeed, much attention is paid to property, but generally the attention is paid to real property and not intellectual property. And as the nature of the world changes, there's a huge amount of value now in intellectual property. Representative Pham.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. I wanted to take this opportunity to reflect on what Rep. Marsh was saying and also some of my own questions. I do remember now the discussion. I'm mixing up my broadcaster discussions in my memories, but I remember having some questions about this bill. And I will ultimately support it just because I recognize it's the product of many years of negotiations and discussions with the Motion Picture Association and with Department of Revenue. And I know that it's a very complicated, many different factors to put to consider. But I just have some questions about maybe which other voices should be considered as we broker some of these very complex apportionment discussions, and broadcasting is changing so much. And I just wonder about how if DOR has the resources to be able to go up against. I imagine the Motion Picture Association has their team of lawyers, and so I just wanted to put out there some concerns around our ability to make sure that all the stakeholders and interests can be part of these negotiations. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment and the observations. If there's not a motion to adopt this bill, I will move on to the next work session.
I'll go ahead and move, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 136A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Vice Chair Reschke moves Senate Bill 136A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any additional discussion? I'm not seeing any. Let's have a roll call vote.
Representative Levy?
Levy votes aye.
Representative Marsh?
Marsh votes aye.
Representative Smith?
Representative Smith votes aye.
Representative Valderrama?
Valderrama votes aye.
Vice Chair Pham?
Pham votes aye.
Vice Chair Reschke?
Reschke votes aye.
Madam Chair Nathanson?
Nathanson votes aye. So to assign a carrier, I realized this has often been called the broadcaster bill. I think it really be a lot more fun to call it the numerator bill. Who would like to carry the numerator bill? There's Madam not Chair, a, yes.
You need to carry, this is Greg, if you need to carry, I'll do it.
Okay. For right now, you can assign me, but I'll have a conversation with Representative Smith and we'll figure it out. We'll see who can do it.
Madam Chair, I don't need to carry it. I was just doing it to serve.
Okay. Thank you. I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 136A. I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 119.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Kyle East in Legislative Revenue Office. And yes, Senate Bill 119, as a refresher, this is a bill that comes to you as requested, or was at the request of the Department of Revenue. And this is a bill relating to an existing personal income tax subtraction Oregon has on the books for artists making a charitable contribution of their own artwork. So again, the change in Senate Bill 119, and the committee heard about this, is just simply changing a requirement in statute right now that the artist, when they make this charitable contribution, would include an appraisal report of the artwork with their tax return. And again, the committee heard from Department of Revenue, and as taxpayers have changed to electronic filing, they are requesting to eliminate the requirement that the taxpayer includes the appraisal report when they file their tax return, though the taxpayer would still need to maintain that appraisal report for their records. We do have the fiscal and revenue impact statement. The fiscal is a no impact, and the revenue impact statement is a minimal.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Easton? Would Rep. Pham like to make a motion?
Yes, I'd be happy to make a motion. And this is no amendment, is that correct, Chair Nathanson?
That's correct.
Okay, Chair Nathanson, I move that we adopt Senate Bill 119 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Pham moves Senate Bill 119 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? I'm not seeing any. Let's have a roll call vote.
Representative Levy?
Levy votes aye.
Representative Marsh?
Marsh votes aye.
Representative Smith?
Representative Smith votes aye.
Representative Valderrama?
Valderrama votes aye.
Vice Chair Pham?
Pham votes aye.
Vice Chair Reschke?
Reschke votes aye.
Madam Chair Nathanson?
Nathanson votes aye. Who would like to carry the No More Red Tape Report for Art Appraisals bill?
I'm getting creative, Madam Nathanson.
You're volunteering, Rep. Levy?
No.
Pham wanted to do it.
If we need a carrier, I'm happy to be the carrier.
If there's any reluctance at all, I'm also happy to step in and do it. You can mark me down as the carrier. That's fine. You may see a series of bills with a little bit of humor on the House floor.
Oh, good.
I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 119, opening a work session on Senate Bill 120.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senate Bill 120 is a bill that was also introduced at the request of the Department of Revenue. Senate Bill 120, as a refresher again, this bill is relating to an inconsistency in tax statute related to tax refund interest. This resulted from a change made back in 2017 in Senate Bill 33, and this is referred to as the errant on that is in statute. So the only change made in Senate Bill 120 is simply removing that on from the tax refund interest statute. We do have the paperwork on this one. The fiscal impact is a no impact, and there is a revenue impact issued. You will see the numbers in the revenue impact. Those are really reflective. It is a positive revenue impact, and that's really reflective of, absent this bill, this refund interest with the calculation with the on in statute that exists right now would otherwise require this refund interest to be going out in the coming biennia. And so what the change in the bill, Senate Bill 120, would do is really stop that refund interest from otherwise going out. So it's really avoiding more or less a potential revenue loss moving forward. And that's the reason for the positive impact.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Easton? Would someone like to make a motion?
Chair Nathanson, I move Senate Bill 120 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Reschke moves Senate Bill 120 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there discussion? I'm not seeing any at this time. Let's have a roll call vote.
Representative Levy?
Levy votes aye.
Representative Marsh?
Marsh votes aye.
Representative Smith?
Representative Smith votes aye.
Representative Valderrama?
Valderrama votes aye.
Vice Chair Pham?
Pham votes aye.
Vice Chair Reschke?
Reschke votes aye.
Madam Chair Nathanson.
Nathanson votes aye. Motion passes. How about a carrier for this one?
Madam Chair Nathanson, I've been holding out for this one. This is Pham.
You will carry the errant on bill?
It's all the lessons of a pronoun. Yes, I will. Happily.
Thank you very much. We're getting rid of a two-letter word. Thank you, Rep. Marsh. I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 120. Mr. Alanak, I think that's the end of our agenda for today.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
There's no other business before us. Committee members, any last words before we adjourn? Okay, thank you, everyone. We're adjourned.